sport and talk.
This is The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Right, let's look at Everton financially, see where they are in terms of the new stadium and more. Delighted to welcome, as always, a man who's known as the Esk on social media. He's always on Everton Business Matters as well on the Blue Room EFC. So let's say good morning to Paul. How are you, Paul?
Not too bad, Steve. How are you?
Thanks for your company. Right, it's a few weeks since you did your interview with Joe Anderson, the guys on Everton Business Matters. You were talking specifically about the situation with the new stadium. So just give us the headlines off that conversation that you had with the Liverpool mayor.
Okay. The intention was to get Joe on to explain what exactly the City Council were going to do and what exactly it meant for the people of Liverpool, not just Everton supporters. And Joe very kindly came on and he explained very clearly that the reason why this was happening was the City Council can borrow money from a fund within national government at very, very low rates. And that means that the City Council doesn't have to use any of its own money. It can use government money for capital projects. And the capital project in this case is the new stadium at Bramley Moor. And the reason why the City Council would want to do it is quite simple, that they can charge Everton a higher rate of interest than they get charged themselves. And therefore, the difference between the two can be used by the City Council to support essential services. And essentially, Joe came on and he spoke for an hour about that very simple point, that it won't cost the local taxpayers anything. The local authority will generate around about £7 million a year in profit, and that money will then be used in local services.
I mean, he's received an awful lot of criticism, hasn't he? A continued criticism over this. What are people sceptical about?
I think people, first of all, a lot of people don't necessarily understand that it's not the council's money that's being used. And, you know, they see local services being cut. They see things like, you know, a lot of potholes and stuff. And they wonder why, if these things can't be paid for, why a stadium can be paid for, especially when Everton have a major shareholder, you know, as wealthy as Mashiri. So it was important to get that message over, that it wasn't the local authority's money that's being used. It's government money that's being used. And I suppose the second thing that most people are concerned about is, you know, what happens if something happens to Everton Football Club? Because the City Council ultimately are responsible for paying the government back for the money that they borrow, which they then give to Everton. And again, Joe went through that in fairly a fair amount of detail. Didn't explain everything, but essentially what would happen is Everton will secure the loan against future season ticket revenues, just in the same way that they borrowed money from the Prudential over 20 years ago. So, and I think there is additional securities in place as well in terms of naming rights, in terms of other sponsorship arrangements that Everton are going to enter. And of course, if Everton were to get relegated, not that any blue ever expects that to happen, then the parachute payments, which are available for 3 years, would be put into an account for the purposes of paying the stadium loan. So I think they're the two main points why people object to this. Of course, there's always going to be political issues in terms of people who either don't like Joe personally or they don't like the Labour Party, the Labour group that he represents. But I guess there's not much we can do about that.
So it's a fairly safe and secure system which has been looked at. Now, you talked about season tickets, and there's a little bit of an irony here, isn't there? Because Everton fans are absolutely baying for blood in terms of Sam Allardyce, but the club's never been stronger in terms of season tickets.
It's one of those weird things that I suspect that we're all hoping that Sam will disappear at the end of the season, and the expectation is that, you know, another manager perhaps that will play more attractive football and have a greater footballing philosophy will come in. But you know, the demand is there. Football is a growth business, and I think one of the frustrations that we feel on Everton Business Matters is that the club doesn't share its enthusiasm, or it perhaps doesn't have the confidence that we would expect it to have. You know, the Premier League is is a growth business. It's popular the world around the world, and we've demonstrated in the last few years where, you know, with capacity crowds at Everton, even though we've not played great football, that there's a demand out there, and that demand can be filled.
But Paul, what should it indicate in terms of the size of stadium that Everton are looking at? Because there's this constant conversation, 50,000 or 60,000. If Everton is that strong as a pull at the moment, what would be the ideal stadium right now?
For me personally, I think 60,000, and I've written on quite a few occasions about why and how I think that's possible. We could fill a 60,000-seat stadium, have less season ticket holders than West Ham have less premium seat members than Tottenham have, and have 10,000 less walk-up supporters than Liverpool get, and still fill a 60,000-seat stadium. Mm. We've got 34,000 season tickets, which is capped by Premier League rules. We have a waiting list of over 10,000 currently at Goodison. All the experiences of when clubs move to other stadiums elsewhere have shown that, at least in the early years, and most sustained over a longer period, is that season ticket numbers increase enormously. Arsenal went from 25,000 to over 45,000. West Ham went from less than 20,000 to nearly 50,000 season ticket holders. So there's strong evidence wherever you look in terms of other clubs' moves before you even look at the potential demand at Everton, which can't be fulfilled by Goodison Park. I always think it's remarkable that we can sell 4,000 or 5,000 seats every single game, where you don't get a clear view of one or both goals. Hmm. I mean, I'm sure you've sat at Goodison and sat behind a pillar on many occasions. And if we look at, for example, the premium seating, the sort of the prawn sandwich brigade, for want of a better term. We have probably the smallest capacity in the Premier League at just over 1,300. To move that to around about 5,000 when, for example, Liverpool get 8,000 per game in terms of premium seatings, to me doesn't seem like such a stretch. And I go back to the point I made just a few minutes ago. I think we have to have more confidence as a club, and we have to have people in the organisation who see the potential and put the plans together in order to make those plans a reality.
I was going to say, so given your more than convincing argument there, you do wonder why anyone within the club would be looking at 50,000 and saying, well, safe is better.
Yeah, I think one of the difficulties is that, and we've talked about this and everybody knows this, that for many, many years, Everton have not had the resources that other clubs have had. So it's become a part of the club's culture, I think, to think in a cautious and conservative way because, to be fair to them, in the past, they wouldn't have been able to afford to have made mistakes. So, Robert Elston was, in a sense, the ideal CEO from the point of view that he is, by nature cautious, and he would always take sort of the least path of resistance in when he was doing his business planning. I think now we're in a different situation, and I think if we're not aggressive in terms of our business plans and in terms of our expectations of the club, then it's almost impossible to see how we can compete on the pitch. And ultimately, that's what running the business of Everton Football Club must be about. It must be about supporting the footballing side of the business and getting us competitive on the pitch once more. And if the if the stadium is too small, or if we don't have enough premium seats, I just don't see how we can possibly do that in the future.
Does it feel like it's dragging to you, the whole process at the moment, Paul?
I think, in one sense, yes. And I would say that because I don't think the communication strategy is correct. I think if they came out and said, look, this is the plan, this is what we want to do, these are the obstacles in our way. For example, we need to finalise the arrangements with the City Council. That's going to take 3 months, 6 months, whatever the time might be. We need to raise the other 200 million or thereabouts that the council aren't providing. We need to do planning permission. It's going to take 6 months, et cetera, et cetera. Put a timeline out there and explain to people whereabouts in the process we are. And again, I think this comes back to confidence. It comes back to, the past experiences of the club in terms of stadium moves has not been positive, obviously. And again, you know, it's pretty much the same individuals who are involved, at least from a from being up front, from being at the front of this, in terms of, you know, for example, Robert Elson. And I just think, again, it's this natural caution that sits within the club. If they did explain more, and if they said this is the process and this is how long it's going to take, then all of this sort of the concerns that fans have, all of the worry that fans have, could be dissipated.
So next stage would be what? What sort of timescale are we looking at for some sort of an announcement here, Paul?
Okay, from what the mayor has told us, I think the agreements that need to be agreed between Everton and Liverpool are very, very close. Between Everton and Liverpool City Council are extremely close to being completed. And in fact, 2 weeks ago when we spoke to him, he said that should be done within 3 weeks, so possibly sometime this week for that. He seems to think that the City Council will probably sign off the funding totally sometime in June or July, which would allow us then to go forward with the planning process in the autumn of 2018. All things going well with that would mean that sort of construction work would probably start in the early summer of 2019. 3 years to build the stadium, meaning that we'd be playing football in Bramley Moor in 2022-23 season.
Can't come soon enough. Paul, thank you very much indeed for your time.
Rock, sport and talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
This is Radio City Talk.